John the Baptist, part 3. We finished part 2 last time. You should have part 3. We gave it out. If anybody doesn't have it, we got a few left that if anybody were to need it, but that's what we've been doing. Okay, let's do this. We're going to start this one this morning. I don't know how far we'll get, but whatever questions, input, whatever you want to talk about as we go through this, be sure and stop me and we'll do it. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1, okay? John chapter 1. We've been in Luke looking at John the Baptist. Now we're in John chapter 1. We're continuing our study of the life of John the Baptist. He's the man chosen by God to be the forerunner of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, a faithful man who fulfilled his mission given to him by God. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make the way ready for the Lord. This morning as we continue, we're going to see John's message about Jesus. That's going to be kind of the key. Last time we saw the beginning of his ministry, his message about himself. You know, they came out there to say, who are you? And he said, I'm not the Christ. He must increase. You know, all of those kind of things. And now, he talked about others, about what they're to do and who Jesus is. Well, this morning, we're going to see, what does he say about Jesus? It's very special because it's a very clear message, and we need to think about our message, and we want to be as clear as we can be on proclaiming the gospel. You know, it amazes me on how, and I don't mean this bad, but how unclear most are. That the message is so confused that you're not sure what a person is supposed to do. When you start talking about the salvation message, people are confused on what they believe, who they believe, and what they believe about who they believe. So it's pretty amazing, and we'll see it as we go through. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll see John's message concerning Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege we have of coming together with fellow believers. Thank you for this special day when we think about our military and the people who have risked their lives and given their lives for us to have freedom to be able to come together. We thank you, Lord, for a great country and great people. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, which is so perfect. And as we study about the life of John the Baptist, that we'll see, what did he say about Jesus? And, of course, what he said about our Savior Jesus is what we need to be saying. And so, Lord, we ask you that you teach us as we study through this and that we make application in our lives. We pray, Lord, that our lives will count for you. We know that you have allowed us to live on this earth for such a time as this, that we want to be faithful men and women, being ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. Teach us, Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I grew up playing sports some, and I loved every minute of it. I wasn't very good, but I never wanted to come out of the game. I didn't get to play in the game a lot, so when I had to come out, I didn't want to come out. But, you know, the person that takes your place is called a substitute. And, you know, most of the time we don't want a substitute. If you're in the game and you're having fun, you don't want somebody to come in and take your place. But there was a time that all of us were glad that somebody took our place. And that's the substitute of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We're supposed to die, but what happened? Jesus Christ came and he took our place. He became our substitute. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sometime, as you go through the scripture, just in your own study, look for all the places in which you see the issue of substitution, how he died for us. 1 Peter talks about how Christ died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Over and over through the scripture, the whole idea of substitution is there. He is our substitute. As we look at the message, is what we see what John says about Jesus, that's going to be one of the things. It's the idea that he's the substitute. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's really important that we see this. This morning we're going to see two things. We're going to see him, we're going to see meeting Jesus. We're going to see John when he meets Jesus. We're going to see some statements about Jesus, and then we're going to see the event when he meets him. And then number two, we're going to see his message about Jesus, and there are three aspects that tie together. And just according to how fast we want to go, whether we'll finish this one this morning or we'll get it when I get back. As most of you know, or a lot of you know, I'm leaving today to go to L.A., Lower Alabama, and I'll be there for a couple of weeks, so we're going to miss a couple of Sundays. This is sort of our vacation. This is not sort of our vacation. It is our vacation. But anyway, we'll have a lot of fun. So if we don't finish today, we'll pick it up when we get back, and we'll see it. Let's start with meeting Jesus, okay? Let's think about that. It was known, even before his birth, that John, he knew that he would be the forerunner of the Messiah, that he would fulfill Isaiah 40, that he would fulfill Malachi chapter 3, that he would be the messenger. He would be the voice crying in the wilderness. He'd be the one to go before the Messiah. But in truth, he didn't know who the Messiah was. Now think about this. Nobody told him who the Messiah was exactly. His mother could have, because let me tell you, his mother knew the mother of the Lord, and she may have told him. She may have said, now you're the forerunner of the Messiah. I can tell you who the Messiah is. Nobody else really knows this very much. But the man named Jesus, that's the Messiah. She could have told him because she knew Mary. You remember when Mary came to Elizabeth, that was John's mother, that before Mary could say a word, the Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth, and she said, "Wow, it is so great that the mother of my Lord has come." She knew all about this. So John may have had an idea who the Messiah was supposed to be because of his mother. But did he know? Look at John 1:29 for just a second. Look what the verse says. The next day, he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming to him. The next day, he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, here's my question and here's our question. How did he know for sure that Jesus of Nazareth was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Well, it's amazing. Because, in fact, yeah, there's John 1:29. We're going to see that we'll come back to this verse in just a minute, but we're going to see what he had been told by God. I want you to see something. Look at verse 31. In fact, look at verse 30 because he says this about Jesus. He says, "This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man whose rank is higher than I, for he existed before me.'" Now, I want you to understand that when John said that statement, that is a very powerful statement. He says, "This is the man I was telling you about that has a higher rank than me," meaning he's greater than I am, "and he existed before me." He's saying that this man, John, Jesus that he pointed out, existed before he existed. So he's saying something powerful. Now, how did he know? Look at the next verse. John is speaking. He said, "I did not recognize him. But so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water." Now, when he says, "I did not recognize him," he's saying, "I didn't really know who he was." If you'd said to me, "I want you to point out the Messiah," he could say, "Well, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, but I'm not exactly sure who he is. I got an idea, but I don't know for sure." He says, "I did not know for sure. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water." He's saying, so that all of Israel might know who the Messiah is, my job was to go out and to baptize people, to identify them with the Messiah and the King. You remember, that's what we talked about. John's job was that people would believe he would say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," which means change your mind. The King's on the earth. The kingdom of heaven is here. And he wanted people to believe in the King, in the Messiah. And that's what they were doing. Now, they might not know exactly who he is, because I want you to understand that Adam and Eve did not know Jesus of Nazareth. They knew the seed of woman who was going to crush the head of the serpent. And Abraham did not know Jesus of Nazareth, but he knew his seed, his son, would be the one in which all the nations of the world would be blessed. So they didn't know him particularly by name as time went by. If you just said to David, "Who's the Messiah?" he'd say, he's my son, my greater son. What's his name? I don't know. Where does he live? He said, "I don't know, but I can tell you where he's going to be born. I don't know where he's going to live, but I can tell you where he's going to be born." So they didn't know. So here's John, who has an idea from his mother probably, but he says, "I didn't know who he was, but my job was to baptize people, identifying them with the Messiah, so that people would recognize who the Messiah is." John testified saying, look at verse 32, "I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him." Now, John doesn't tell us anything yet. He just says, "I was baptizing, and there was this person, and I saw the Holy Spirit as a dove come out of heaven and come down on this man and stay on this man." And then look what the next verse says. "I did not recognize him. But he who sent me to baptize in water said to me." Now, who sent John to baptize? God the Father. Yeah, God sent John. John has been set apart by God to go do this. So John says, "I didn't recognize him, but the one who told me to go baptize," that's the Father. He said, "The one who sent me to baptize said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.'" John the Baptist had been told somehow by God the Father that he's going to be doing all these baptisms, And the day comes when he baptizes somebody and the Holy Spirit comes down and remains on a person. He says, that person is the Messiah. He's the one. That's the one you've been waiting for to point out. Look what John goes on to say. Verse 34. And myself have seen, I myself have seen, and I have testified, this is the Son of God. Now, John writes to us, the writer John writes and tells us what John the Baptist said. And John the Baptist said, well, I had a job to do. God told me to go out and to baptize, to identify people with the King. He also told me this, that sometime when I was baptizing, the Holy Spirit would come down like a dove, rest on a person, whoever that person was, that is the Messiah. And I'm supposed to then say, there's the Son of God. There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's how he was going to know. Now, you think about it. He could have guessed. His mother could have said to him, it's Jesus of Nazareth as he grew up. But remember, he didn't live with his family. Where did he live growing up? Out in the wilderness. We don't know what all they taught him. And here he is, letting people know, letting us know. He says, I didn't know who he was until I saw the Holy Spirit come down. And then when I saw that, I knew that's the Messiah. Now, do you want to see that event? Let's do it. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1. Just turn a few pages back in your Bible to Mark chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 9. Yes.
John knew when he was in the womb. Might not have known the name of Jesus, but knew when Jesus was around.
He did. All we can know is whatever a baby in the womb could think, the Holy Spirit filled that baby in the womb and leaped with joy when Mary came with baby Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. So it was amazing. Now, you could say, well, then maybe every time Jesus gets close to John, he goes, whoo, yeah, there he is. I'm feeling that same thing I felt when I was just a baby. Is that? I don't know. But obviously not, because John said, I didn't recognize him. And the one who told me to do all this said, here's how you're going to know for sure. Holy Spirit's going to come down. And when you see that, you don't have to go, whoo, there it is. You're going to know that that's the one. But that is a good point. Even in the womb, John the Baptist knew when Jesus was close to him. He just didn't know who he was, so to speak. Now, in John, I want you to see something. John's out doing his ministry. Look at verse 6. Well, look at verse 5. And all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and his diet was locusts and wild honey. Now, he is such a weird person in the sense of how the people, even at that time, they would see this man who was a Nazarite from birth, never cut his hair at all, out in the wilderness, proclaiming a message, and instead of having to come into the town and try to drum up people, he's out there and all the people are coming out to him. And notice verse 7, it says, and he was preaching and saying, after me one is coming who is mightier than I. I'm not even worthy to stoop down, untie the thong of his sandals. I'm not even worthy. I'm baptizing you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now remember, what had the Father told him? One of these days you're going to see somebody. You're going to baptize a person. And the Holy Spirit's going to come down like a dove and going to stay on that person. And when that happens, you know that's the one who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Because you're telling everybody you're baptizing with water, but there's one coming after you who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. So here's what happened. In those days, verse 9, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. You think about it. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Where did Jesus have to? Where was Galilee? What part of Israel is Galilee? Northern part. Okay, remember, Israel is divided into three parts. Galilee, Samaria, Judea. Jerusalem's in Judea. Close to Jerusalem is Jericho. Close to Jericho is the Jordan River where everybody would cross over there. Jesus leaves the northern part of Israel, makes a 200-mile trip to come all the way down to where John is doing the baptizing out by that river, out by the Jordan River. They call it beyond the Jordan because that's what sometimes you'll read, that John was beyond the Jordan, which means he was on the east side of the river. on the other side from the opposite of Jericho, opposite from Jerusalem. So it says, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee in the north and was baptized by John in the Jordan. So here's John baptizing, and here comes Jesus. And you know, it could be that as soon as Jesus came up, John might have gone, this may be the one. This may be the one. He's familiar to me. Something special here. Maybe, who knows, but this is what happened. Immediately, coming up out of the water, when he baptized him and coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Now, so what's the sign for John? The Holy Spirit coming down like a dove and a voice out of the heavens. You know, God the Father is pretty great. He said, I don't want you to miss it. Just in case you missed what I said, here's what I'm going to do. You are my beloved Son. In you, I am well pleased. So in this whole thing, John baptized Jesus. When he came up out of the water, heavens opened, the Holy Spirit came like a dove, stayed on Jesus. And John's mind went, whoa, this is the one that he said, when I see the Holy Spirit like a dove remaining on the person, that's the one. At that same time, the Father's voice said, you are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So from that point on, John had no question. If you want to, go back to John again, John chapter 1. Remember the verse, John 1:29, that we looked at a while ago? In fact, I want you to do something. I want you to see the flow. Look at John 1:24. John's out there and people are coming out and asking him questions. And verse 24, now they had been sent from the Pharisees and they asked him and they said, why are you baptizing if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And John said, I'm baptizing in water, but among you one stands who you don't even know. It's one who comes after me, and the thong of whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie. That's the same thing we heard earlier. These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then John does goes on to explain what we read a while ago. I didn't know him, but the one who told me to baptize, remember verse 33, I didn't know who he was, but the one who told me to baptize said, when you see the Holy Spirit coming down and remaining on him, this is the one, verse 34, I have seen and have testified that this one is the Son of God. That's why verse 29, John says, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, I know time is up, but I want to stop for just a minute and talk about what John's about to do. John has people following him. There have been people following John the Baptist for a long time, and he's been doing this ministry. He's been pointing out Jesus. He's been pointing out about a coming Messiah and a king, and all these people are there. As Jesus is standing there, as John is standing there, Jesus goes by, and John says, there he is. There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You realize what happened with some of those people. What did they do? What did the people with John do when John pointed out Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? What did they do? They followed. They left John. They went, thank you, John. Thanks so much for the information. We're going to go follow this guy. That's exactly what they did. In fact, if you read carefully, several of them went to Jesus, and as they were following him, he stops and goes, what do y'all want, basically? And they didn't know what to say. So you know what they said? Where do you live? That's what they said. Where do you live? And he went, come and see. And they followed him. If you remember, they went and spent the night and realized who he was, trusted him, a couple of those. Andrew went and found Peter and said, we found the Messiah, the Lamb of God. And they went and found another guy. And one guy said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, they went, they started telling. So John pointed out Jesus, and a lot of John's guys left. And we're going to see later when we study in the next couple of weeks that some people begin to worry because they said, John, do you realize a lot of people are going with Jesus? You're losing crowds, man. You're losing your ministry. And what did John say? He must increase. I must decrease. John had it all down. He wasn't worried about crowds. He was just doing his job. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, There are three parts there. I want you to see under number two where it says John's message about Jesus, the three aspects. I want you to see him. He is the Lamb of God who takes away sin of the world. That's the big three. And next week or next time when I get back, we're going to look at those three things. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Is that the second or the first? Okay, we on our clock, we still got 4 minutes. Is that not right? Look back at that clock. That's the third bell. Well, I want to talk about one thing for just a second then. The Lamb of God. Why is Jesus called the Lamb of God? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, in the Old Testament, that every time that a person had sin, and I'm talking about sin that they did that they knew was wrong, their responsibility was to do what? Take a sacrifice. Some of the sacrifices were lambs, some were goats, some were other things. There were all kind of different sacrifices based on whether you had any money or not. But one of the sacrifices was a lamb, and that lamb would be taken there, and it would be sacrificed, and the blood would be poured out, and the lamb would be put up there. Your hand would have been on there, and they're saying, picture your sin on the lamb. The lamb dies in your place, substitute. The only problem with it was what? That lamb did not pay for sin. What did it do? Covered it. And so in sacrificial system, there was never a sacrifice that took away sin. All sacrifices covered sin. The most important day in the Old Testament, as far as Jews were concerned, was Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, Yom Day, Kippur covering. The day that sins were covered, not paid for. When John pointed out Jesus and said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, a person who understands what he's saying is saying, you're telling me that that's the Messiah who's going to take our sin. That's the one that's fulfilling Isaiah 53. He bore our sins, our iniquities. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way, but the Lord has laid on him our iniquities. You're telling me that's the one, the Lamb of God who's taken away our sin. And that's the answer. That's why it's so vital. And you know, we're going to see next week, I think when we talk about Lamb of God, has Genesis 22. You remember the story in Genesis 22? I'll go details next week. But that's when Abraham offers up his son. And you know, everybody wants to say, oh, it was so horrible that God was going to have Abraham offer up his son because God doesn't want human sacrifices, right? He does want human sacrifice. It's the only sacrifice that pays for sin. It has to be a perfect human. Animal sacrifices can't pay for people's sins. The problem with Isaac is Isaac wasn't a perfect human sacrifice. But we'll talk about it next week as they're walking up the top of that hill. We got less than a minute. They're talking up the top of that hill. And Isaac looks over at his dad and says, yeah, I got the knife. We got the wood. You got the fire. Where's the lamb? And he said, what? The Lord will provide. And that's a foreshadow of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lord has provided for us a sacrifice that doesn't just cover our sin and we say, well, you know, someday this has got to be dealt with. He's given us a sacrifice that has paid for every sin that any human being has ever done, past, present, and future. Sin's not the issue. Faith is the issue. Whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believes is not condemned, but he that believes not is what? Condemned already. Why? Because of their sin? No, because they have not believed in the Lamb of God who has already taken away the sin of the world. Is this beautiful or what? Okay, we'll get it next time. Next time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for sending us the Savior. And Lord, we realize here is John, and he wasn't exactly sure what he was supposed to look for or what to do. And yet, at exactly the right time, the Father said, when you see the Holy Spirit coming down and remaining, that's the right one. And in exactly the right time, Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit came down out of heaven, and the voice of the Father said, you are my beloved Son. And so John knew that was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thank you, Lord, for sending the Lamb, Jesus Christ, not as a sacrifice to cover sin, but as the final sacrifice for sin forever. Ever. May we never take it for granted. Help us to put all this together, Lord, and be ready to give an answer to people, to be able to tell people about our Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name.